Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom. Shalom, saints.
Shalom.
Right. We're going to jump right to it. On first Sundays, we don't have the same amount of time, but we're going to make it work. So I want to talk to you. Turn to Romans, the 8th chapter, about what we are. I guess what I'm going to do today, I'm going to give you some things to meditate on. We're talking about meditation in the Hebrew, siha, and it means reflection. It means devotion. It means the study of. As I said earlier, we don't allow those moments to happen. So therefore, when we hear something, we don't let it go all the way through. How many of you all know about marination? Oh, that's not a word, but I'm making it a word today. Marinating. And the word that I am making up, marination, is the act of marinating. And what happens in marination? Some of you all barbecue. Who barbecues? All right. And so what is the reason for marinating? Flavor. And so can you just slap something on there and call it a marination? What does it take to marinate?
Time.
It's got to sit. Sat, it got to get. So if you're a rib. See, that's one of the things that I do miss being on this pescatarian diet is ribs. Because when you let that marination, it gets all the way to the bone. And there is just something that happens when you let the flavor go all the way to the bone. I know some folks that even suck on the bones. It's like, why are you sucking on the bones? They say, because the flavor's in there. Chicken bones, barbecue bones. But you got to let time for that thing to sink in. Same with the word. Something happens when you let that word saturate, when you actually let it set in. And it happens over time. So Romans 8, chapter 16, verse, this is something that struck me last week when I was studying and reading it on Sunday morning. And the 16th verse says, the Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of Yahweh. And as Apostle was saying in communion earlier, that we are his children. So as his children, we're entitled to certain benefits, right? And we have a right to be here. We have a right to take from the table, right? We don't come any old kind of way, but it's a right that we have. And so as his children, there are rights that we have. And the 17th verse says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of Yahweh, joint heirs with Mashiach, that is Yeshua. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. But this verse, the 18th verse, and this is something that I want you to allow the process of marination to take place. Because before I get to this, I want you to take note of these four words. Meditation. Marination. It's a made-up word, but it works. And that is going to lead us to maturation. And then from that maturation comes revelation.
Yes, sir.
I want you to meditate on those things this week. Because if you don't let the first thing take place, the others are not going to happen. Some people are like, I want to be mature. I want to be grown, but you're not spending any time in the Word. It's not happening. You have to let the meditation come forth. From that comes the marination, then the what? Maturation. You're maturing. And then from those things being uncovered, he starts revealing things. Now, this is what struck me. 18 verse 4, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Your purpose and the things that he has called you to do and your gifting and your destiny is part of his glory. Why? Because he put it in you. Whatever you're supposed to be, Yahweh's put it in you. So therefore, he's saying that at some certain time, his glory will not be revealed in himself, but he's saying it's going to be revealed in you. So therefore, some processes need to take place for you believers that I don't know what I'm supposed to do, and I'm waiting to hear from God, and I don't know what my purpose is or my destiny and all these things. Well, it's in you. Already. And it will be revealed. But there's some stuff you got to do for that revelation to take place. If you're running the streets and not spending time in the Word, you're still never going to know what your purpose is going to be. So if you want revelation in you, if he hid stuff in us, get this, not to hide it from us, but to hide it in us.
Yeah.
So that when we start doing his will and his way and start being obedient, then he starts bringing that stuff. We start figuring stuff out. Case in point. Eve. Satan tried to tell her that Yahweh was keeping something from her. He wasn't keeping something in her, from her. He was keeping it in her. And see, the devil knew that. That over time, there was going to be some more glory and stuff revealed in their relationship with Yahweh. So he wanted to start messing with their mind and their thoughts. So if you want Yahweh's glory to be revealed in you, don't fall into the Eve trap. Be obedient. And from your obedience, he starts revealing stuff. He starts revealing purpose. He starts revealing what's inside of you. He starts revealing gifts. Because people are like, what about my gifts? What about them? They're in you, but if you don't allow the Word to penetrate you and your relationship with Yahweh develop, those things are never going to be revealed. And you want them to be revealed. He put them in you. How do I know this? Go to Psalms 139. The 13th verse. And what does it say? For thou hast possessed my reins. That means formed my inner parts. Yeah, but you formed him. And thou hast covered me when? In my mother's womb. You made me. Now you must, unless you believe in the miracle of Yahweh in creation. If you're sitting here today, he's the one that created you. The devil didn't create you. He can't create. What he wants to do is mess up what Yahweh's created. So if he can mess with you, yeah, you've been created to do some wonderful and amazing things. But who are you going to go to bring it out? Are you going to go to the devil to bring it out? Are you going to go to Yahweh to bring it out? So he says, you've possessed my reins. You made my inward parts. You have covered me in my mother's room. 14th verse. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth what? Right? I know it's you that did this. I know it's you that created this. And for you that don't know or are not really embracing how wonderful you are, stop tripping. You are wonderfully made. And with his Holy Ghost in you, you a masterpiece. That's why he says you can do all things. That's why he says you're the head and not the tail. That's why he says you're more than a conqueror, because you're his workmanship. You're his masterpiece. He's the one that wonderfully made you and put his spirit inside of you. Meditate on that. And if he's the one that made me, he's the only one that can unlock the stuff that's inside of me. Let me tell you the only thing the devil can do. The only thing the devil can do is unlock your flesh. And your flesh is not your core. That's not what is supposed to define you. You're not supposed to be defined by your flesh. You're supposed to be defined by the wonderfully made, glorified things that he has placed in you, that are supposed to be shining through, that are supposed to be coming through. And he says, and right well. 15th, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. And in thy book, all my members were written. Everything about you. You think you're sitting here from some accident or coincidence? You sitting here because he's allowed you to, he's allowed that salvation to take place in your life. He's allowed that transformation to take place in your life. And if you sitting here, you sitting here for a reason. Because if there was no reason, when you got baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, he would have caught you up. But look around. Tell your neighbor, we still here. And as long as we here, there's some glory to be revealed. Not just in me, but tell your neighbor, in you. He's got some stuff that he's trying to reveal in you. And go here to John, Yohanan, the sixth verse, the sixth chapter. So how does the enemy mess with your meditation process? He messes with your thoughts. Because if there's anything that you're going to do, it starts up here first. And then if he can mess with your thoughts, he can mess with your mouth. And if he can mess with your thoughts, he can mess with your actions. So what did he do with Eve? He started messing with her thoughts. Well, God didn't say you would surely die. So who are you going to allow to have your mind and your mouth? There is a battle going on for your mind and your mouth. What are you going to speak? What are you going to think? What are you going to speak? What are you going to do? The enemy wants that. Guess who wants it too? Yahweh. He wants your mind. He wants your thoughts. Right? Say it. You say it. Say, he wants my mind. He wants my thoughts. Say, he wants my mouth. Because y'all say some stuff. I'm sick. I'm tired. I'm going to do this. I'm going to punch it. I'm going to slap. Why not? If you're going to allow something to happen, Why not allow his word to dictate what those thoughts are going to be, what those actions are going to be, what you're going to say? And John, the 6th verse, 63rd chapter says, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. And what? His word. I tell believers all the time, if you're going to speak something, speak life. Speak the word. Speak the spirit. Speak life. Because he's created you to be, and I've said this in many situations because we're spiritual beings. He's created us to be speaking spirits. Therefore, we're supposed to speak what? Life. We speak the word. Say, I speak the word. Got to meditate on that. What are you speaking? What is your speaking life? Wait, let me back it up. What is your thought life? Whatever you spend time thinking on, that's your life. What you thinking on right now? No, I got some folks thinking about what they're going to eat after this dude get up off the stage. He need to hurry up. It's 1:07. What are we going to do? Are we going to have time to run over here and do so and so? So if you're thinking about that stuff sitting here in church, my God, what are you thinking of when you're not here? What are you thinking about Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday? Is it the word? And a lot of us think about our problems. We sit there and go through all kinds of permutations on the things that we're dealing with. Why are you trying to figure it out? He told you to cast your cares upon him because he is the one that's supposed to care for you, not you care for you. Because you, with your little pea brain, can't figure nothing out. Him, with all of his imminent and available and omnipotence, and knowing the end, beginning from the end from the beginning, and all the different things in between, you better give it to him because you can't work it out like he can. But yet, there we are. You can't sleep at night. Why? Because you worrying about what you're going to do tomorrow. Didn't he say in his word, evangelist, that don't worry about, be careful for nothing. Tomorrow is going to what? Take care of itself. Look at the birds out there. They tweeting. They ain't thinking. They ain't tripping. But you only got 2 hours sleep. And get question. Did that you getting 2 hours sleep, did it solve the problem? I'm just asking. Spiritual things control natural things. Let's go back. Spiritual things control what? Natural things. So what are you dwelling on? So I ask you, what is your thought life? Because your thinking has a life. Are you thinking on the things of your eye? Go to Philippians, 4th chapter. I'm just giving you some stuff to think about. What you do with this, we're going to find out next week. I'm not stopping right now. I'm just saying. I'm just dropping some stuff for you to think about. And he tells us how to think. In Philippians, he's telling you how to think. He's saying if you want victory, think like this. So he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. So why are you dwelling with the lies? Why are you messing with the lies? Why are you letting the lies marinate whatever things are true? Whatever things are honest. Whatever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. Why are we dwelling on all the bad reports? Are you thinking, and this is where I'm asking you where your thought life is. Are you thinking on the bad reports more than the good reports? Are you thinking on the lies rather than the truth? Are you thinking on ugly things rather than the lovely things? Are you thinking on the impure things rather than the pure things? If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, if you want anything to happen, if you want anything to change, if you want to grab hold of your victory, I suggest you think on these things. And why is he telling us what to think on? Because the enemy has so many other things that he's trying to get you guys to think on. This is why we're talking about meditation this month. Because what are you spending your time thinking about? Some of y'all are worried about Kenya on the Good Housewives of Atlanta. You know that show, Housewives of Atlantis? Or any of those other shows? And I don't understand why you call a housewife a show when the people on there are not housewives. They're not married. So why are they housewives? And they ain't, from what I see, they're not even spending that much time in the house. But what I'm saying is that you spend time worrying about them folks. Living hip hop. Loving hip hop? What is it? Love and, oh, okay. Love and hip hop. And all them different folks on there. One time I was channel surfing, I was like, who are these people? And why are they here? And why do I care? Why would I care what was going on in their lives? But y'all spent times wondering, yeah, because I remember back in the day, they would have the stories. Soap operas. I was in the barbershop the other day, and they turned past some show. What was it, Jeremy? Young and the Restless or something. And I was like, is that still on? But this is the thing. People would take those folks' problems and they would go to work and say, girl, I don't know what's going on with Evelyn. And you know, Erica Kane, she's been married. As if. So today's reality, quote unquote, shows are yesterday's soap operas. And y'all are blogging and talking about what these folks is doing. What is going on in your own life? Why are you trying to find out what hip and hop and love is? Think on. Lord, help us. And it says, go to Hebrews. Give me 5 more minutes. I'm just going to give y'all some stuff to think about. Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, 14th verse. Whatever you're putting in is what you're getting out. Junk in, junk out. Word in, word out. Hebrews 2nd chapter 14th verse. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power over death. He might destroy him that had the power over death. Yeshua destroyed him that had, past tense. You as a child of the Most High God, you as having the name of Yeshua, when you receive Yeshua, he ain't got no power over you unless you put junk in. He has no power over you, because the next verse 15 says, and deliver them that through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. But because of Yeshua, you're not all your lifetime subject to bondage. But rather, you've been freed. But rather, the enemy has no power over you, but he wants to mess with you and get you to think that he does have power, but he ain't got no power. And you got to keep on renewing the word in your mind. Keep reminding yourself that the demon, no demon in hell has any power over you, but rather you have power over them through the name of Yeshua, and they are rendered under your feet. That's why the word tells us, and casting down every thought to the obedience of who? Mashiach. So when them bad thoughts come, them bad situations come, wait, cast that down. To the obedience of Yeshua means that they have to line up with the word. And you have to tell them, you body, if your body trying to be sick, body, in the name of Yeshua, you got to line up with the word. Because he says, in his stripes, I'm healed. Therefore, I receive my healing. Right? And let's speak on healing. All the things that we need, we find in him. One last thing for you to meditate on. You got these commercials. Drugs called flesh is all, or whatever is all seems to be the end part of it. And take flesh is all. And flesh is all will remove your depression. However, the side effects are depression and suicidal thoughts and homicidal thoughts. And if you blacked out for more than 4 hours, call your nearest physician. Well, doggone, I'm taking flesh is all because I am depressed, but you're saying the side effects is depression. So why am I taking flesh is all? Because the devil want to keep you bound. He want to keep you in flesh is all. Guess what? I got a prescription for that. The prescription is called word is all. And if you take word is all, take it in the morning when you wake up, during the day, take as many as you need. In the evening, take it before you go to bed. If you're feeling anything, and the side effects of the overdose of word is all is victory, deliverance, healing, overcoming. Take as much as you want. Anytime you want, because there's healing in the word of Yahweh. Is there anybody that's taking word is all? Because the word is all you need. Come on. Come on. Let that marinate. Let that get inside. Let that sink down to the bone. His word is healing. His word is free. Father Yahweh. Father Yahweh. You are all we need, Father. Why are we looking here? Why are we looking there? Your word embalming, Billy. It is the healing. And all we have to do is meditate, confess it, let it sink down inside of us. Whatever is going on, we refer to you. We speak you. Because you said your word are truth. They are spirit. And they are life. They're healing. So right now, Father, let us take an inventory of what we're thinking about, what we're toiling with. Let us think on you. You told us already, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, good report. You told us to think on those things. And if we do that, something is going to happen. You're going to move. You're going to break chains. You're going to deliver. You're going to heal. Because that's what you do. So let us start developing our faith in what you say. Our belief in what you say. Our trust in what you say. And in what you say about us. You've made us. You've changed us. You've recreated us. You know what our destiny is. You know what your plan is for us. You know what our purpose is. Father, we give it up to you. We're not our own anymore. We belong to you. So we want your perfect work to take place in us. So right now, in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, let us allow the word to penetrate our lives, Father. And for this, we give you glory, we give you honor. We acknowledge you, not just in this moment today, but on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday and on Thursday and Friday and Saturday. We're acknowledging you. We're speaking what you told us to speak. We're reading your word. We're letting you penetrate our lives. Not just one day. Every day. We thank you. Praise you. Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. I was just asking.